The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We turn in the Old Testament this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel 20, we read the first 22 verses. The text is verses 16 through 22. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." And there went out after him Joab's men, the Kirathites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened, and upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And he went forth, as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again. And he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that every one that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel, and to Bethmaachah, and all the Beerites. And they were gathered together, and they went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Now begins the words of the text. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." And she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." And she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Thus far we read the divinely inspired and infallible word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the days of which we read here were part of the latter days of David's reign, and they were not good days. They were days of turmoil and unrest caused by rebellion. Really, to get the whole picture and the context, we have to go all the way back to the day in which David fell when he lusted after Bathsheba. Prior to that day, David marched from victory to victory, subduing all of the enemies, the surrounding Canaanites, and uniting all of the people of Israel in peace under him and his rule, and gave to Israel a peace that they had never seen in their history. But after his fall with Bathsheba, God brought, by way of consequence, a sword into his home and into his family. And on account of that sword, there would be forever in David's house turmoil and unrest, and that caused by rebellion. These were not good days. For example, 2 Samuel chapter 15 tells us how David's son Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel and led a rebellion against his own father David and seized the throne. So David had to go running away and hide. Later on, the men of David and the men of Absalom would go to war and Absalom would be killed. And it looked promising that there would again be peace in Israel, but peace did not prevail. For David now comes out of hiding and heads back to Jerusalem to take his throne. And as he does, he calls for the men of his own tribe of Judah to come meet him near the Jordan River and escort him back to the throne. And they agree to do that, so they come. However, all of the men of the other tribes of Israel became very, very jealous, and enmity ensued. Chapter 19 ends with these words, and the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. They were fighting. But it got even worse because there was a devilish Benjamite there whose name was Sheba, and he looked to capitalize on this enmity between the men, and he did by leading an insurrection and drawing away some of the men of Israel unto himself and away from King David. So chapter 20 begins with the fact that Bichri, the son of Bichri named Sheba, blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. This man was cut out of the same mold as Absalom, and now he leads a rebellion. David says, verse 6, to Abishai, Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. So Amasa, the former captain of Absalom, now loyal to David, Amasa and Joab and Abishai take men and they go pursuing after the rebel Sheba. On the way, Joab ruthlessly murders Amasa, and then he keeps going with men pursuing after Sheba. These were not good days. There was much unrest and turmoil in the land because of rebellion. We need to understand the significance of all of this rebellion. Though David was weak and though he was sinful, he was God's appointed king of the tribe of Judah, and he was, in his own way, according to God's covenantal design, a type, a picture of King Jesus. And when these rebels like Absalom and Sheba led revolts against David, they were revolting against the Christ himself. And when the men of Israel followed these rebels, they themselves were rebelling against and forsaking Jesus Christ, the King of Israel. These were not good days. But in the midst of all of this trouble and unrest and disunity, we find in the text before us this morning a wise, peaceable, faithful woman in the city of Abel who is concerned about the inheritance of the Lord. And she will use her wisdom for the good of God's covenant and for the restoration of peace. She's nameless. We will never know her name on this earth. She's not like Eve or Sarah or Anna or Mary, women who stand out in the Bible and are named. She goes unnamed, but she's one of the outstanding women of sacred scripture, and she is forever an example of all of the faithful women in God's covenant to whom God gives wisdom, and women who use their wisdom for the sake of peace, and that in order that the covenant of God be preserved. So let's consider this wise woman this morning. The theme of the sermon is the wise woman in Abel. Consider three things. First, her wise behavior. Second, her covenantal zeal. And third, her enduring example. There was a wise woman in the city of Abel who used her wise behavior to keep Abel from being swallowed up. To put it positively, there was a wise woman in the city of Abel who used her wisdom to preserve Abel. Abel of Beth-Maacah was the name of the city. The city was located in the far northern regions of Israel in the territory of the tribe of Naphtali, a good 30 or so miles north of the Sea of Galilee, way up there in the north. The city of Abel comes into view here in the narrative of the history of the life of David because it's the city to which the rebel Sheba fled. Sheba led a revolt against King David. And initially, he had what appeared to be a significant following. For verse 2 says, "So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba." But evidently, his revolt was not very successful because he was immediately on the run. And he was running for good reason because Joab was behind him with his men. Joab had just thrust darts through the heart of Absalom, who was hanging from an oak. And shortly thereafter, he thrust a sword through Amasa on the highway. And what is he going to thrust through Sheba? Sheba runs for good reason, and he passes through all the tribes of Israel, heading north. We read in verse 14, "And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel." How he found refuge in Abel is a bit puzzling because, as we will see momentarily in the text, Abel was a peaceable and faithful city. How he found refuge is not explained, but the simple fact that he found refuge is stated. So, Swiftly to the city of Abel comes Joab and his men. And upon discovering that Sheba was in the city of Abel and that they weren't allowed access into the city, a city which was surrounded by a large wall and also by a moat or a trench for additional fortification, Joab and his men start building an embankment. A big mound, probably of dirt and rocks and stones and trees, to cover up the moat, and assembled this embankment up against the wall so that all of the soldiers could take their battering rams and go up against the wall and start pounding away, battering the wall to knock it down. We read in verse 15, and they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Maacah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. You can imagine the noise and the chaos and the commotion with all of these soldiers shouting and ramming and slamming and battering against the wall, trying to knock it down so they can go rushing into the city to find Sheba and probably kill anyone in their way. And rising above the noise of it all was a loud cry from a wise woman inside of the city who cries out, opening words of the text, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." And evidently, everything stopped. And they listened, and they got Joab. And Joab came, and they talked. 17, and when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." And now she begins her appeal. And she's going to explain to Joab the value of Abel. Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they ended the matter. Historically, this is a city of great wisdom. And she continues, "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel." That phrase literally reads, "I am the peaceable ones and the faithful ones in Israel." And she's speaking for the whole city of Abel, saying, "We are the peaceable ones and the faithful ones in Israel." She continues, "Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel." Abel is a kind of mother in Israel. "Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" She appeals to the value, the significance of this city in Israel. And Joab's listening, and then Joab speaks words that are false from beginning to end concerning his character, verse 20. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. He keeps going. He recognizes how foolish it would be, though, to destroy an entire city in the kingdom for the sake of one man. So he says, "The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. We want Sheba." And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. She goes back into the city, tells the men, "We need Sheba. We need his head." So they cut off his head and throw it over the wall, and it comes rolling to Joab, and he identifies it. It's the head of Sheba. And he blasts the trumpet. The men go back to their tents. They organize. And off they go south, back to Jerusalem, to King David. The revolt is over. The insurrection has ceased. Sheba is dead. Peace prevails. And there the city of Abel was preserved. Abel was on the verge of being swallowed up. The men were ready to break through the city and go after Sheba, killing anyone in their way. But the city of Abel was preserved. It was not swallowed up because there was in that city a wise woman who used wise behavior to preserve Abel. Now, it's certainly true that this woman was a very courageous woman. Can you imagine the courage it must have taken her? It must have taken any man, let alone a woman, to cry out in the midst of all of this clamor and the siege of the city, to get everyone to stop, and then to ask for the attention of Joab. This woman was extraordinarily courageous. In addition, she was certainly a very humble woman. She was not a haughty, self-asserting, large and in charge, I'm the boss kind of a woman who wanted to rule over everyone and tell Joab himself what to do. For when she speaks to Joab, she says, verse 17, hear the words of thine handmaid. Handmaid. She identifies herself as a lowly servant girl. I'm thy handmaid. She's courageous. She's humble. But what stands out in the text is her wisdom. She was a wise woman. The text begins with these words. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. And then before the text tells us anything about this woman and what she did, it identifies her first and primarily as a wise woman. And then we go all the way to the end of the text, verse 22. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom. She not only was a wise woman, she exercised her wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge for some good purpose. The right application of knowledge. It's knowledge in action. Wisdom is knowing what to do. God is wise. God has infinite and eternal knowledge. And He applies that knowledge. He uses that knowledge. He puts that knowledge in action for the great good of His own glory and the salvation of His covenant people. And this God, through the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, puts in the hearts of His people in the Old Testament, including this woman, wisdom, so that they have knowledge of God and His covenant, and now they can apply that knowledge to life. They know what to do. And this woman was one of them. She had wisdom. She knew what to do. And the outstanding manifestation of her wisdom in the text is her recognition of the importance of communication. That's her wisdom. Of all the wisdom that's explained in Scripture, and of all the wise people in the Bible from beginning to end, here's a wise person, a woman, who in her wisdom understands the significance, the importance, the value of communication. She wants to talk. That's the wise woman in Abel. She wants to talk. Verse 16, hear. If you didn't read the text, then let me tell you, that's not H-E-R-E, this place right here, but H-E-A-R, which means listen. Listen. Say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. It was chaos, clamor, warfare, battering, shouting. And she says, hear, listen, we need to talk. Joab certainly lacked the wisdom to understand the importance of communication. He didn't come to Abel and start asking questions. He didn't come to Abel to figure out what was going on and get a proper understanding of the scenario. He came to Ahab and he started building an embankment. And with the men, they went up and started pounding away at the wall so that they could blast through and into the city. But what if Abel were actually a peaceable city? What if it were a faithful city? What if it were a city renowned in history for its wisdom? What if it were the inheritance of the Lord? Without communication, there will be misconceptions. Without communication, Joab might suppose Abel is a rebellious city supporting Sheba. Without communication, Abel might think that Joab and the outside with his men are there to kill everyone, when in fact, they were after Sheba. But how will either side know if there's no communication, if they don't stop at all to talk and listen and talk and listen? But you see, the wisdom of the woman was not simply, I need to talk and you need to listen to me. We need to talk. She listens to Joab. So Joab speaks, verse 21, the matter is not so. And he continues, this man Sheba had lifted his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only and I will depart from the city. That wasn't the woman's proposal. Well, we'll give you Sheba. That was Joab's proposal. She listened to him. We want Sheba. And then she says, all right, we'll throw his head over the wall. But she listened. She talked. She listened. Her wisdom was, we need to talk. We need to communicate. And so she stopped the siege so they could talk. And through her wisdom, Abel was preserved. Both sides gained an understanding of the situation. Both sides came to an agreement and understood Sheba is the issue and his head must be cut off. And they did so. And there was peace. And the men went back to their tents. And they went marching all the way back down to Jerusalem. And they could tell David, it's over. The revolt, it's over. There's now peace in the borders. And Abel has been preserved. How was it preserved? Why was it? Because up in the city, there was this wise, wise woman. In light of the text, we need to understand this morning that what drove this woman in all of her wise behavior for the sake of the preservation of Abel was her covenantal zeal. That stands out in the text as part of her wisdom, her covenantal zeal. Zealous for God's covenant she was. That's expressed in those last and climactic words of her appeal in verse 19. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Inheritance, that's a covenantal term. Lord in all capital letters, that's God's covenantal name. The covenant's in view here. Her great concern, why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Her great concern is not merely why wilt thou swallow up this perfectly good city with all of its nice walls, or why wilt thou swallow up innocent people? Why should innocent people and myself, why should we have to die? Why do you contribute to the breakdown of the peace, outward societal peace here? That wasn't her concern, at least not her chief concern. Her chief concern is, why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Zealous she was for God's covenant, and that's part of her wisdom. The inheritance of the Lord. The inheritance of the Lord refers to a peculiar possession, to a piece of property that belongs to the Lord. The Lord identified Canaan as the promised land, and it was his peculiar possession. It was his inheritance. And so he led the people of Israel out of Egypt and brought them into the land of Canaan, and they divided up the land among the tribes. So each tribe had their place in the land of Canaan. And there in the promised land, God, the God of the covenant, dwelt with his people in fellowship. They lived with him. He lived with them. And there in Canaan, they were his inheritance. The inheritance of the covenant. And Abel belonged to that inheritance of the Lord. Abel was not like Ramses in Egypt, one of those treasure cities, and out of which Israel had come. Abel was not like Nineveh in Assyria. Those were pagan cities of the wicked. But Abel belonged to Canaan, and thus it was part of the inheritance of the Lord. It was the peculiar property of God in the earth. It was a city where God's people were found with their children, washed according to promise in the blood of Jesus Christ, having their sins forgiven. It was a city with all of the others in Canaan that lived under the rule of King David, who was a type of Jesus Christ. And under his rule, they had peace with each other and with God. Abel was part of the inheritance of the Lord. But according to the text, Abel was no ordinary city. It was an extraordinary part of the inheritance of the Lord. First of all, that's brought out in the text in verse 18, which states, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. So what happened in history was, when there was a dispute among people in the area, they went to Abel. They sought counsel among the wise men at Abel, and the wise men of Abel would deliberate, and they would pass judgment, and the case would be over. It would end. A city of wisdom. And that's why she calls Abel a mother in Israel. For all of the area cities, Abel was a mother. She would take care of the others with her wisdom. No ordinary city. Furthermore, the wise woman continues in verse 19, I or we are them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Abel was a peaceable city. They didn't support insurrections. They didn't look to get David off the throne. They were a peaceable city, and that's because they were faithful. Faithful to God's covenant. Faithful to David himself as the king. A peaceable and faithful city. God had worked mightily by his grace in the hearts of the people of Abel, and this city was part of the inheritance of the Lord. And the wise woman recognized that. And that's part of her wisdom. She recognized the covenantal significance of the city of Abel. She understood God's covenant people lived there with their children, and that God's covenantal name was there, and his covenantal blessings was there, and they were living under the rule of the covenantal king, David, who was a type of Jesus Christ. She understood that because Abel was part of the inheritance of the Lord, great, great damage would be done if this city were swallowed up. That's graphic language that she uses there. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Maybe she even recognized that if Sheba lives and continues and goes out of Abel and does gain a following and goes after David himself and kills David, maybe she even understood the significance for the Christ himself as David stood in the nation as a picture of Jesus Christ. She had a grasp of God's covenant and was zealous for it. Why wilt thou swallow up, destroy the inheritance of the Lord? Therefore, in her covenantal zeal, she did what she did. In zeal for the covenant, she courageously stood up in the city and cried out, "Hear, hear," and stopped the siege. In zeal for the covenant, she talked with Joab and explained her concerns. In zeal for the covenant, she said, "We will take his head." And so she went back to the men of the city, not in cold, murderous hatred, but in zeal for the covenant. "We need to take his head." So they cut off his head to show the seriousness of his sin, a man leading revolt against David, and to cause all of the people of the city to stand in fear and in awe of God's awesome justice in this case. So they cut off his head, and they threw the head over the wall, and it went rolling out to Joab, and he blasts the trumpet, and the siege is stopped, and all the men go back to their tents, and they go marching back to Jerusalem to King David to tell him, "There's peace now. The revolt is over. Sheba is dead." And this woman understood that this peace was so important for God's covenant, lest the inheritance of the Lord be swallowed up. And she knew what to do. She knew what to do, and she did it. God used her mightily in her wisdom and with her heart of covenantal zeal to preserve Abel. And not only to preserve the city of Abel, but to preserve the whole of Israel, as Sheba was put to death. A wise woman. She is now an enduring example to and of all the women of God's covenant to whom God gives wisdom to know what to do, and especially to apply their wisdom in communication for peace in the preservation of God's covenant. God does not only give to the man wisdom. God does not only give to office bearers wisdom. God does not only give to heads and to leaders wisdom. God gives wisdom to women. And God not only gives wisdom to women who are well known and highly regarded and whose names are written down, but God gives wisdom to women who are nameless in history. And this woman was one of them and stands as an example of the many other women. Women do not have wisdom of themselves. The women of the world do not have this wisdom. This is a gift in Jesus Christ. Only in Christ is there wisdom. Only in Christ and through his death can there be peace. The death of Absalom didn't bring peace. Not real, true peace. The death of Sheba didn't bring true spiritual peace. It brought a temporary quietness outwardly. There's only one death that can bring peace between people and between people and God, and that is the death of Jesus Christ. Through his death, there is peace. But through his death, there's not only peace. Through his death, there are all the benefits of the covenant, including wisdom. And a wisdom that serves peace. That's in Jesus. And through Jesus, that wisdom is put into the hearts of women. And the peculiar manifestation of wisdom in this text is the wisdom to know what to do by talking, communicating. In connection with baptism this morning, let's make particular application to the inheritance of the Lord as it is found in covenant children. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage," or "the inheritance of the Lord." God gives women wisdom to recognize how important communication is for the preservation of the Jehovah's inheritance, which is covenant children. The woman of Abel is the woman of the covenant today in her home. When the little children are misbehaving and maybe even besieging the walls of the house itself. And they're pounding away. Maybe they're even pounding each other. The wise woman does not take the rod of discipline and, like Joab, go rampaging through the home, swinging wildly, and maybe asking a question or two later. But in her wisdom, she cries out, "Here, here, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." And through communication, she gets an understanding of the situation so that she knows how to apply the discipline properly. That's the wise woman of Abel. When a child of Abel, Beth-Maacah, leads an insurrection against his mother and defiantly refuses to obey, not only the father in wisdom, but the mother in wisdom understands the necessity of corporal punishment lovingly and rightly administered. But that's not the end of the matter. That's not the end of the matter for the wise woman, because the wise woman understands a physical instrument all by itself cannot bring peace, because a physical instrument can't touch the heart. But there's something that can touch the heart and bring peace between children, and children between parents, and children with their God. And that's words. Because words can get to the heart. So the wise woman communicates with the child so that the child can understand what they did wrong and why it was wrong and why God is displeased and what they should have done instead, what proper behavior looks like in this situation. The foolish man or the foolish woman does not communicate, but like Joab, simply lays down the law of justice and moves on. But that's because the foolish woman doesn't understand, or the foolish man doesn't understand. We're talking about the inheritance of the Lord. These children are the inheritance of the Lord. The foolish person simply sees discipline as a way to put an end to a present annoyance. But the wise father or mother sees this is the inheritance. These children are the inheritance of the Lord. And they're not right with each other or with us or with God, and they need to be talked to. There has to be miscommunication, lest there's misunderstandings left with a child, or the child remains bitter and resentful. There has to be communication to get to the heart of the child, lest the inheritance of the Lord be swallowed up. So the wise woman says, stop. Not only discipline administered, we need to talk about this. When the older grown children are arguing and fighting or walking disorderly, then it's the wise woman who always gets to the heart of the issue and says to the grown children, "Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" That's the issue. With your misbehavior, you're part of the inheritance of the Lord and all those around you. Why will you swallow up God's heritage? Let's talk about the covenant. The wise woman recognizes when a head must come off. She does. The cutting off of Sheba's head in the Old Testament is an act that is carried out in the New Testament through the official discipline of the church by way of excommunication or erasure when one is cut off out of the city. The wise woman recognizes when excommunication itself may be necessary for her own flesh, who's living as a rebel, and she's able to communicate that and to communicate that to others. This is necessary, lest my own flesh in rebellion be the cause of the swallowing up of the inheritance of the Lord. The wise woman in Abel is the woman today in the home, outside of the home, anywhere at God, in God's covenant at large. And the wise woman recognizes when there's unrest and trouble and disagreement between children, little children or grown children, in any circumstance, there has to be communication. That's the way. Instead of judging rashly, instead of condemning someone unheard, instead of operating on possible misunderstandings, instead of coming to the wrong conclusion about him or he coming to the wrong conclusion about you, the wise woman says, "Here, here, come near hither. We must talk." And we'll bring, even if necessary, children together. Let's talk it through. What's going on? For the sake of peace and for the preservation of the inheritance of the Lord. This is the way it was always done in Abel. All the way in the past, when there were disputes and disagreements, you came to Abel. And the wise men of the city, they talked about it. They worked through it. And they brought the matter to an end. This woman is of that lineage. That kind of wisdom God passed down generationally to this woman. She has it. And now she stands this morning as an outstanding example of all the women of God's covenant who have wisdom graciously given, who know what to do, who know when there has to be speech for the preservation of peace, lest the inheritance of the Lord be swallowed up. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy grace in the woman of whom we learned this morning, who dwells in heaven now with Christ. We stand with gratitude before thee for her covenantal zeal, but especially, Lord, that thy grace operating in her is the same grace that operates in us. Though we don't deserve it, we're so thankful for wisdom in men and in women, and for a common zeal for the covenant and for the preservation of thy inheritance. And Lord, use that indeed for the preservation of thy covenant among us until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in glory as the head exalted over all to destroy all opposition to himself and all rebellion and all those who love revolution and to bring us into the peace everlasting life in heaven with our children according to the promise of the covenant. And Lord, if there are heavy hearts because a child, young or old, is stubbornly walking in rebellion, then give wisdom to know what to say in zeal for thy covenant. And we pray thou wilt bring back any who wickedly goes astray and rejects the King himself. Not our will, but thy will be done for the hallowing of thy name, now and forever. Amen.